切，
切，切，我切，我切，我切，我切。
I was a Christian and attended church, and I believed I really loved the Lord. But there was a day I went to church, and the preacher spoke to me. He said, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my words, my commands, listen to my voice. Jesus really needs to know how deep is your love.
Your love.
His will.
What will you give in return for his love? Will you yield and obey or just walk away? Jesus really needs to know how deep is your love.
Is your love, how deep is your love? He really needs to know that you're willing to surrender all of your life to his will and his commands. That's the least that you can do. Da 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 da.
One day Jesus turned to Peter and said, I wanna know if you really love me. Simon Peter turned to him and said, oh my Lord, why do you even ask? 'Cause you know, dear Lord, how I love you. I will keep your commands. I will feed your sheep. Jesus asking you the same. How deep is your love?
Is your love, how deep is your love? He really needs to know that you're willing to surrender all. All of your life to his will and his commands. That's the least that you can do. Da 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 da.
If you hear his voice in your heart today, do not harden your heart, do not turn away. That's the only way you show how deep is your love.
How deep is your love? He really needs to know that you're willing to surrender all of your life.
Everybody seated. Amen. We are blessed this afternoon. Amen. Oh, we are blessed this afternoon. Amen. Because our Father is here with us on our First Love International Sunday. Amen. We've missed His voice for 2 good weeks. And today, I believe that He has more for us. So with a standing ovation and a shout, give it up for Bishop Doug Ewan Mills.
Hallelujah. Wonderful, wonderful. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for this afternoon. What a blessing. What an opportunity we have to be here in church this afternoon. We are blessed. We ask you to fill our hearts with your spirit, fill our hearts with your word, touch the eyes of our spiritual, our hearts, touch the spiritual eyes of our lives, that we may see, we may understand, we may follow your will. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Wonderful. It is a blessing. I missed you for 2 weeks. And I went to Malaysia. In Malaysia, to get there, I had to fly on a Sunday to be there for an important board meeting of the Pentecostal World Fellowship, which I belong to. I'm one of the members of the executive committee. So I had to go for a meeting. You didn't know that I had post. And then I had to preach there in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur, on Sunday. That is why I was away for 2 Sundays. So, it is good to see you all again. Have you finished your strike?
Yes.
All right. I heard you gave birth to 2 children, Verdict and Verdicta,
yes,
whilst I was away. Wonderful children. 2 mysterious children. And we thank God for His power that is at work. His scripture has to be fulfilled. That the whole world lieth in wickedness. And the scriptures are being fulfilled truly before our eyes. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I believe some people have qualified from our School of Victorious Living. Can we get that out of the way first? Or you're not ready with that? Or you do that after church? Right, how many people, how many have passed the exam? 15, right, 15 people have passed.
They wrote it, the others.
The others did not pass, but can you deny them their constitutional right to receive a certificate even though they didn't pass the exam?
Huh?
According to the Supreme Court of the Church, even though they didn't keep the rules and pass the exam, can you deny them that right? Your case is dismissed. Go and sit down. Now, when you don't even pass, you'll be given a certificate. Hey, Bobo. Right. Today I want to preach from the words of Jesus. And I think most of us will never really understand the implications of these great words. Matthew 16 and verse 18. It says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. So my subject is, I will build my church. That is the subject matter for our few minutes of sharing the word of God. Amen. Amen. Right? I will build my church. Amen. Amen. Even if you are a visitor or this is the first time you are coming to the church or to a church, you must understand that this church or the church is built by Jesus Christ, and that it will benefit you greatly to understand what is happening. Amen. Amen. Now, the Bible says that Jesus spoke to Peter and said, "I will build my church." Now, if the vice chancellor of this school arises and says that he will build a hall here on this field out there, right, and he's got the backing of all the important committees in the school, and they decide they are going to build something there, you would be better advised not to go and have your lunch there, isn't it? Because the vice chancellor has decided to build there. All right? And everything that is happening on the campus must flow with what the vice chancellor has decided to do. Because he is building what he wants to build. Amen. Are you listening to me? Now, what people don't realize is that it is what God has decided to do that is what is going to happen in the end. The other things, they may seem to be happening, but they are not happening. Are you there? It is what God has decided to do. That is what is going to be done. Nothing else is going to happen. Some people may seem to be doing something, but they are not doing anything, I can tell you for sure. Turn to Isaiah 14, verse 26. Isaiah, I'm going to give you a few seconds to find Isaiah. Isaiah 14, verse 26. What does it say? This is the purpose that is purposed upon all the earth, and this is the hand that is stretched upon the nations. For the Lord of hosts, verse 27, has purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Okay? So, what is this? The Bible is telling us that this is what God has decided to do. Who can change it? Who can stop it? Now, one of the ways you can stop somebody's vision, and I've learned that being the pastor of this of the church, Lighthouse Chapel, is that people who are doing things that are not exactly in line with what I'm doing tend to be opposers to what I'm doing, but without saying so. Because the Bible says, "Who that is not with me is against me." So I found out that, let's say I'm trying to go this way, and you have somebody who is trying not to go. Not that he's going to a different place, but he's just trying to delay. He's actually your enemy. Are you listening? So I found over time that people who don't align themselves to do exactly what I'm trying to do tend to be like hidden enemies. You don't even know what you are fighting against. Right? So I have some advice for everybody here. Okay? Let us align ourselves. Look, the day you die, you see Jesus. The day you die, and it's just a matter of time. You may be young, but you may die before an older person. It's just a matter of time. One day you get bam, and there you are. You are out. And you are going to see the Lord of Lords. And then he will ask you, I said I was building my church, and you were doing what? What were you doing? So, some of you, you have replaced this scripture with, I will build my life. I will build my career. I will build my career. Some of you have a vision, I will build a disco. I hope not. But I know somebody who had a vision to build discos. What do you call them? Clubs. Okay. I hear it's an old word now. We don't use disco anymore. Club. He built a number, in those days it was called a disco. He built a number of discotheques or clubs. And I saw one of his branches in Tema. Yeah. When God has said what he is building, you have come up with a different plan. Some of you want to say, I will build my nation. My nation. Yeah. I'm building the nation. Nation building. And you will discover that you are better off giving yourself to build the church of God. Most politicians are disappointed by the time they leave office. Yeah. They are sad because they did not accomplish what they wanted to accomplish. I was reading a book written by a man, and the book is entitled Why Nations Fail. And he was giving examples, and one of the first examples he gave was Ghana. Why nations fail. Why the nation is a failed nation. It's a failed state. One of the first examples he gave was Ghana. And he spoke about the failure of the first president of Ghana, Kwame Nkrumah, why he failed. He was explaining that it is not ignorance that makes you fail. Because Kwame Nkrumah was not ignorant. And he was advised by British economic advisors. And he mentioned their names. Yeah. So it was not because of ignorance. It was giving the real reason why things fail. That is not ignorance. Yeah. So, you may give your life to build nations. Well, the nation Ghana was formed only in 1957. It's a recent invention. And if you don't know, Togo used to be part of the, at least it was connected, Togo and the Volta region were one country. And parts of the western region were part of Cote d'Ivoire. They speak the same language, have similar names. And all the borders, they were all, they didn't divide it according to the groups well. And that is what we have in Ghana today. You have the seeds of terrible tribalism being sowed in Ghana for the seeds of something very bad. Because the country is so polarized and divided. And is divided along those lines. So, for me, I would say to you, you better join in something that will work. Not something that you end up building that will not work. Political parties. Some of you are politicians in the making. You've decided to give yourself to build CPP, political party, an Nkrumahist party. You have already failed. It's not working. Yes. Some of you have given yourself for NPP. Your whole life, you are fighting to build and fighting for something which is just like NDC. And some of you want to give your... Like, you know, I have to be careful what I say. So I'm trying to find out if I describe it how I really want to describe it, you'll not be happy. Some of you have given your life to build NDC, which is just like NPP. You get it? So, what did Jesus say? I will build my church. Now, when there is a very important person and you can sense what the person is trying to do, join in. Join in. And join in the building. And you will become important. You will become important. You become important to the person who is building. Yeah. Join in. Don't do a different thing. There was a man some years ago when I started building the church, Koligono Cathedral. And when I started building, he was a new contractor who had just come, and I said, you build. Okay? You build. You build. You, I don't know anything about this building. You build from day one. So he built the, well, part of the cathedral and part of the other buildings that we have in that area. Just one of our cathedrals today. But he became so important to me. You see, I'm trying to make you important to Jesus. You see, Jesus is doing a project. Okay? So I just want you to join the project. Become one of the contractors. Become one of the electricians. Anything. Become one of the people fiddling with anything on the site. I'm trying to make you important to Jesus. Jesus said, I will build my church. Now listen on. This person who became my contractor, as I speak today, his number is the only, maybe if I can remember 5 telephone numbers. I don't think I can remember 5 now, because I used to know everybody's number in those days when we didn't have mobile phone. You know, now that it's on, I don't memorize it anymore. But his number was one of the only numbers. Up till today, I called him so much. Every day. In fact, he became almost like a personal friend. Although, it wasn't so much like that. He was a friend and he's nice and all that. But it was like somebody you ring every day. 2 times, 3 times, 4 times a day. Why? Because he became somebody who was on my building project. He was the one, my main person through whom I was building. He was a very important person to me. And even up till today, anybody who is doing a building project, I tend to have to call the person all the time. Even if I don't want to call the person, I have to call. Because the person is doing my main thing that I'm doing and spending a lot of money. That person is the one at the front of it. I need the person to be in contact with me all the time. So if you want to be close to me, do a building project. Be involved in a building project that I am personally building. You will be close to me, but I'll ring you every day. I have to ring you. I have to. I need to. Because the main thing that I'm doing and my main aim, Jesus said his main aim there, I will build my church. So, you know, I'll tell you, no matter who you are, you know, no matter who you are, you don't have to be a pastor But I thank God many of you will end up becoming pastors. Amen. Now, just align yourself with what is going on. Because it is something that is succeeding. Look, when you finish your school, I'll tell you why. When you finish your school, I don't know what course you are doing. B.A. in psychology, B.A. in political science, Spanish and whatever. When you finish, you still have one more step to prosper. Do you know what that step is? The third step is to join yourself to somebody whose business is working well. It's true. Because with your B.A. Econs, B.S.C. Agric, what are you going to do next? You can go and stand on the road and say, B.A. Econs, B.A. Agric. And so what? You have to join yourself to Barclays Bank, which is a succeeding business, a business that's already successful. Or MTN, which is already working. Or something that is going to work. Or is working. A company that is successful. Do you understand? Otherwise, even though you've got a good degree, you are still not going to prosper much in school. That's why you find that those who do short courses, like this BA, this BSc, when you finish, you still have to do another course. That's why in the end, you see that doing law and doing medicine is actually not so long after all. Because you still have to do something else to add to whatever you've done. And even after that, you have to join yourself to something that is working. Otherwise, you will never do well, no matter the course you did. Now, I can tell you something that is working and will always work until the day that Jesus comes, and that is the church is something that God has decided to build. You would have thought that the church will be obsolete by today, 2,000 years later. But me, my work has been the church for 25 years. Yeah. I have no business. I have no investments. I have no incomes. Or secret fishing trawler or fishing boat or farm or anything like that. The church is a very successful thing. You see, that's why it really pains people when they see a church person doing well, when they are doing something else. You see, and a lot of people, they're at a certain stage in their life, you advise them, take a step, join yourself to the church, help to build the church, do the work of God. They don't want to, they feel they'll prosper in another realm. Only to find out that those of us who gave ourselves to the ministry have rather prospered along another, because the church is a very, people like the church. Look, people have always tried to attack the church. This man, Voltaire, he said the church, the Bible will be out of print. But when he died, his house was used to print Bibles. His house was used for a printing press to print Bibles. Many people have tried to say that the church is finished, is done for. Even Malaysia. I went to Malaysia. You know, they dedicated the largest church building in Malaysia. And it is a fully Islamic country. Yeah, fully. That is where the headquarters of so many of the Islamic things are. Yeah, but you see the church is there. A lot of people. Yeah, a lot. And they said the people who are the most missionaries in Asia are Chinese people. I said, pray when the Chinese come on the scene, they are the wildest missionaries. And that's where Christianity is not allowed. So there are a whole lot of people. You know, the church is something that God's house. He said, look, this is the project that I'm embarking on. And you have another project that is like, oh, you are doing this. As for me, I'm doing this. God, you can be doing what you want. Me, I'm doing something else. I'm building something else. I'm building the three arms of government. I'm building one of the three arms. The legislature, that is the parliamentarians. I'm going to be an MP and develop the laws of the nation. Laws which cannot be obeyed. And laws which, even when they are broken, you find out that people are afraid to say that if the law is broken, this is the result of it. So you go on building your legislature. And the second arm is what? Executive, which is what? I'm building, you know, I'm becoming whatever to build this arm, the executive, the president, and all these ministers of whatever. Wow! Two arms. I want the third arm. Judiciary. It's like a joke. It's like a joke. Yeah. It's funny. It's wonderful. So you ask yourself, what are you building? And I want to encourage you, like I encourage myself, and I encourage everybody, all my life till my last day, that look, the church is a good horse to back. You see, in terms of what do I want to give my life to build? Yeah. I want to build a law firm. I want to build a medical practice. I want to build a hospital. These are all nice things. I want to build a soccer team. I want to build the best club in Ghana. It's going to be called Verdict and Verdicta. Verdicta United. Wow. Pray that, you see, as you are building your team, you get a referee. And when the referee starts to play, you have all agreed, this is the goalpost, this is the goalpost. And you start playing. Play! Then you stop. Throw in. Corner. Goal. Everything. Then, at the end of the match, you look at the scoreboard. And there, to your surprise, you have been scored 27-3. And the referee stands by his word. And he says that it is the inalienable right of the other team to be able to score. And therefore, throw-ins are goals in this match. And corner kicks are also goals. It's not overscoring. It is a goal. Throw-ins are goals. Corner kicks are goals. Free kicks are also goals. Whether they go in or not, it's a goal. Wait till you get such a referee. And you will see that you should have rather built the church than building your Verdicta Olympics Club soccer. So I'm encouraging you, my friend, to rather give your energy in your life. That's what I say. Well, I mean, what do I have to do with building the church? Every one of you is a block in the church. Yeah. This big building is not made only of the roofing sheets. It's made of the blocks and the cobbles, the stones, the sand. Every one of you is a part of the church. Every dancer. Some of you didn't understand the dancing. I didn't also understand it fully. I didn't know what at the point what they were dancing, what they were doing.
But they are part of the church and they are all trying to build the dancing blocks of the church, which we need desperately. We need to have dancers. Dancing makes a part of the church. Yes, we need them. And maybe you couldn't hear the song, the words of the song, but they have to be given a chance to sing, because we need to have the singing section of the church also developed. And we are going to always have it. Maybe you don't understand certain things, but everybody is a part of the church. And you are also a part of the church. And your presence alone makes the church work. So when you come to church on a Sunday, you are helping to build the church by even coming. By coming to church, you are actually helping to build the church. And I am advising you, like I have advised people all my life, choose the church as the option. You see, maybe because of horse races, my father used to go to horse races all the time. They ask, which horse are you backing? Backing means betting on the horse. I'm backing number 14. Number 14 is called, what? Correcto Perfecto. Or number 14 is Never Say Die. And they say, which horse are you? So I'm Never Say Die. Or Klolo Klolo Kutu. Number 2 is running. Or Ododo Dio Dio. We had a very good horse, brown color, very fast, called Ododo Dio Dio. That's where I heard that name for the first time. All right? Are you listening? And he's like, which one are you going to put your money on? I'll put my money on Ododo Dio Dio. I'll put my money on Klolo Koto. I'll put my money on Miracle. I'll put my money on Why Worry. I'll put my money on Correcto Perfecto. Never Say Die. Flashing Beauty. Different horses. Verdicta. Verdictilina. They were all part of the races. Are you listening? Yes. Can you understand what I'm preaching about? Yes. And what I'm saying is that choose the church to build, to support with your whole life, and you have chosen the right thing. The church is one of the difficult to quench organisms. Even in this school, you see various vice chancellors, professors, and whatnot. They come. It's now with the church. The school is not the church. We are going to back it. Back it. We are just stopping this. We are not doing this. This. You see all the time. Not now. They've been for years. But these people will come and they will go. They will live and they will die. And the church will go on and will be built. Amen. So I want you to see yourself as a very important part of the church. You know, some years ago, I wanted to do the work of God. I wanted to build a church. Do you know what the devil told me? The devil told me, it's not necessary. There is already a church. Yeah. And you see, especially the church that was there already. And I remember this particularly in London. Because I remember, I was 30 years old. The Lord said to me, go and start a church in London. So, why? Then I started to argue with the Lord. So, there's no need to start a church. There's already church. If the Ghanaians will go to church and so on, you know, there is, especially Action was there. It was a big church. Why? Why should you have a church? And the devil really pounded me. You are proud. You see, you are egotistic. Something is wrong with you, basically. There's something wrong with you. That is why you also want to start it. And that there is no need for another church. No need for another church. No need for another church. But there is need for another of this and another of that and another of that and another of that. Of everything, there is another of. Yeah. And the devil said, there is no need. But anyway, I went ahead. And I'm glad that I did. And I'm telling you, the devil will always tell you the same thing. There's no need of you. But you are not important. Where do you come in? Where do you come in? You don't come in. Important people are there except you. Do you understand? except you. You are not needed or necessary or wanted or supposed to be around. Do you get it? What are you doing here? You are a bad man. You are a bad woman. Get out of here. Don't listen to that. Let me tell you, you are very important to the church. So always remember, let these words ring in your heart. I will build my church. I will build it. On Sunday morning, remember, tell yourself, I'll build my church. I'll build my church. And that by being part of the church, you are building the church. Amen. Are you listening to me? Very good. Now, there are four commitments. I'm going to be preaching about the church for some time. All right? Ushers, there are some people outside. Help them to come in here. Now, there are four very important commitments. Amen. That we need to have. We need to have what I call commitments if we are going to build the church. And today I'm going to ask you what type of committed member you are. The four types. Number one, fair weather commitment. Fair weather. Now, Proverbs 19 verse 4 says, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Amen. Now, fair weather commitment. Everybody say fair weather commitment.
Fair weather commitment.
Say fair weather commitment.
Fair weather.
These are people who come to church when it's not raining. But if it rains and the weather is not good, sorry, no church. Now, when we say fair weather, we also means things are working out well. You see, wealth has many friends. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you take, for instance, the president, our current president, there was a time that people didn't used to visit him probably as much as they are visiting him today. I don't know how much they are visiting, but I can imagine everybody in the world wants to meet the president. Isn't it true? Because the Bible says wealth makes many friends. So when things are working well for you, we have a lot of people who want to be your friends and who want to associate with you. Okay? Because it's good. It's a good time. And every rich man has a lot of friends. Amen. Every rich person has a lot of friends. Every successful thing has friends. And people want to be part of it. Now, you must grow up so that you develop commitment. What I'm sharing with you about the church applies in your personal relationships. If you are going to be close to somebody just because it is good for the person, it's good for you, that is not a good friend. Now, if you look at NDC today, they are experiencing fair weather. They have been winning everything they fight for. Everything is good. And the more you can associate with it, the better it is for you. So you see that in the fair weather, there are a whole lot of people who join and say, oh, we always knew God had chosen you. God has chosen you. That is why it is good to get a beloved whilst in school. Because when you are in school, nobody can see who you are and who you are going to be. Yeah. But when you become somebody, it's difficult. If today I did not have a wife and I was looking for a wife, I would have a problem. I'd have a serious problem. Everybody will behave nice to me. Everybody will smile to me. Everybody is pleasant. Everybody, because fair weather attracts support. And so what I'm saying is that for your support and belief in the church, right, must not be based on fair weather, things are good or there is some benefit. A lot of sisters, when you see them committed to a church, you see that there is a brother somewhere that they are so committed. Sometimes you see the zeal is so much. Yeah.
and you see that the commitment is so high. All right? But your friend who believes in you, whether your commitment, whether there is good weather or bad weather. What about bad weather? What about in bad times? In difficult times? When this church was made up of a group of just these four rows here, Bishop Saki and Bishop Eddie, they were my main supporters. They really believed in me when we were just four rows. And people were criticizing me that I didn't know how to preach. You see, if the church was small and I'm walking around talking like I'm talking to you now, you may think that I don't know how to preach. Well, the way I'm talking, I'm just talking. So somebody look at me the other time preaching. Is this preaching? He's just talking. He's just talking. Another person said, is this preaching? But we can understand it. Is it preaching? You see, it's like, well, we are able to understand it. How can you say that this is preaching? We understand it. We understand what he's saying. How do you say this is preaching? This can't be preaching. You see, but you see, because a lot of people are listening to me, you are also listening thinking that I must be preaching well. But in the earlier days, nobody was listening to me. With just a few people in a classroom. And I was preaching just like this. And there were some people in that bad weather who said, it is preaching. It is good preaching. It is good preaching. It's a powerful preaching. Today, a lot of people in the fair weather, a lighthouse everywhere, lighthouse is here, 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 and so on. I don't even know where people know me from. Because I'm not on television. I don't preach on television. I'm not on any billboard. I'm not on nothing. But you may say that it's good preaching today. But there is a time when some people believe it. Look, one day I saw a brother's picture. He was actually leading worship in a church. When I saw his video, I stood up and said, brother, you must be faithful to your wife, because the way you looked in those days, you looked like you either had cancer or HIV or tuberculosis. And your beloved agreed to marry you. It was serious. If I show you the picture, you will understand what I'm saying. Somebody who doesn't want to marry you because things don't look so good, bright for you. You don't look like somebody who is going to become something. Thank God that such a person is not interested in you. You are getting somebody who is taking you on just in fair weather. Hey! Are you listening? The second type of commitment is situational commitment. And the third type is non-situational commitment. Situational friendship. Now, friends, situational friendship commitment. All right? Now, friends are friends because the situation permits. Amen. The situation permits. Oh, the church is near my hall. The church is in my hall. So the situation is such that it's convenient and possible. Not even that you are being attracted by the fair weather of something good that you may get something out of it. But it's like it's convenient. So this is convenient membership. Now we have a lot of people who are just conveniently associated with the church. So, because I'm on campus and you are also on campus, that's why I have joined. But when the situation changes, their commitment will change. You say, oh, but they are all churches. Every church is a church. I've gone back to my whatever. My mother church. My father church.
all church be church. So you must develop, and I'm telling you, you must develop commitment which is higher than fair weather commitment. See, fair weather, you can see that there is something good. The sun is shining there. I'm going there. That's how those people are. And a lot of the political friendships you see are because something is working. Like, for instance, a politician. If you are in power and you don't show me friendship, right? You don't show me respect or friendship. When you are deposed or you are set aside, you are now showing me respect and friendship. It's because your situation has changed. So my regard for your friendship is not so high. Yeah. A lot of people are like that. When the situation shifts, then you see a new thing. But a real friend, you know, that's why for me, you know, God has blessed me. My ministry has grown bigger and bigger and bigger. But my best people are the old people. I prefer old people to new people any day. My friends are still my old friends. Recently, I introduced one of my friends to somebody was asking me who are there. So this is the doctor. This guy is a doctor. So when I was in medical school, he was with me in medical. We slept in the same room. He was a roommate to some extent. Because we stayed in the same room. He didn't have a room, so he was catching with me for a period. In those days, when you do very well in second year, you go and do a degree before you come and continue. So he did very well and went and did a degree and came. So when he came, there was no room, so he stayed with me, Dr. Nosh. Yeah, so he was with me. He has been with me in the church. He has supported me and believed in anything that I've done all these years. This is not a situational friend or a fair weather. Because there have been a lot of dark weathers. Bad weather. Life is made up of good weather. You see, we were having church just now. The storm came. Yeah. And you see the people. This and this. This and that. As soon as there's a change. Yeah. There are people, you marry them as a poor man, as a poor person. When the person prospers, you wish you had never met that person. It's true. When our president came into power and he was choosing people that nobody knew, he was choosing, who is his chief of staff? Is this person? Who is this person? Another person. This one, they said some secretary or whatever. And I was thinking to myself, why are people complaining? If I was a president, I will bring people, the people that have been faithful to me and that I have known them, who have worked non-situationally. Those are the people that I will bring and say, this is my minister of road, my minister of this, my minister of this, minister of this. Not somebody coming with saying, oh, because you have to choose one northerner. And you have to choose one southerner. And you have to choose one airway. So therefore, this is the airway I choose for this. This is the northerner I choose for this. This is the southerner I choose for this. This is what I have cast. But we have cast also. We have to get a place in this government. But half cast have been left out. Yeah. We have been sidelined in the present administration. In fact, when I see the president, I'm going to tell him that he seems to have sidelined half cast in the country. That we form a very large, important group in the nation. President Rawlings, myself, and other people. Yeah, you cannot say half castes are not important in Ghana. We're also contributing our quota. Jacob Bejebi Lamte and all the world. I can mention more. Are you listening?
Yes.
Now, look for people who are permanent. And people whose commitment to you is not depending on what you have. Look, you see, I'm talking about the church, but I'm talking about you. A person who, when you have money, is good, flowing. Those of you girls who follow people because the person has money to spend on you. You are a cheap flat. And you are not worth. You are cheap. You are cheap. When I was in a relationship, I never bought whether shoes, dress, nothing, zero. I myself and me, three of us, we came into the relationship. You like us? You like us? I, myself, and me. Here we are. None of our situation. Stand up, Frank. Look, you see him looking lean. Turn around and let them see your face. One day, he's going to be meaty. It's just because he's hungry. That is why he looks lean. He's hungry. He's a bachelor. You cannot look at somebody's situation to decide your commitment. My commitment to you must be beyond the situation. Yeah. Because life, you can marry somebody, the person will go mad. Yeah. A lot of people even go mad, but they are not diagnosed. They are mad, but they've not been diagnosed. Sit down. Hello, are you listening?
Yes.
A lot of people are mad, but they've not been diagnosed. A lot of problems, but they've not been diagnosed. Your spouse can experience all kinds of things. You cannot tell. Are you going to say, wow, when you were looking so beautiful and rosy, I thought you were going to be this, I thought you were going to be that. Yeah. I know one pastor, he ended up divorced and ended up dead in the end. He was a doctor and then he became a pastor. And he was really going into, at the point he said, you know, I'm not interested. He was supposed to do surgery, neurosurgery. And he said, look, I have no interest in this abroad. And in the end he said, look, I am going to be. And his wife grew wild. Yeah. Until they ended up separated. Yeah. It's like I married a doctor. I want a doctor. So you see, when you are choosing something, you choose it for better, for worse. Yeah. And you see, it's not like the politics that we have today. Today you see somebody says NPP, then says NDC. Say NPP, NDC, like that. You can't tell. They change. A lot of them, you see, they change here. And all the businessmen, because the businessmen also, they are also trying to let their business work. So they shift both sides. If you come, we'll just say we are with you. And in fact, during the election, they give money here, they give money there. They feed Peter a bit, then they feed John small. Then they go. Your commitment to me must go beyond fair weather. Well, fair weather is when I can see some benefits. I can see that something is good there. It's fair. It's good. When I go, I'll get money. When I go, I'll get it. When I go to this church, I'll get a beloved. When I go there, I'll get a beloved. When I join, I know this is a beloved. This church, they like marriage. When I go there, I'll get somebody. I'll marry. By all means, this church, they like marriage. When you stay in the church for some time and no beloved seems to be coming, now you say, hey, Charlie, look, time is passing by, man. I need somebody. I gotta go. You say, daddy, you're too good, but I gotta go. Yeah. There was a time, you know, after church on Sunday, my wife used to give me some groundnuts and chips. Groundnuts and chips. Special one. Very nice. One day, I came to church. After preaching, I was sitting there, no granite and chips. So I said, where are the granite and chips? And she said, the lady who makes the granite and chips has left the church. I said, why? She said, she had been in the church for some time and she doesn't see anybody of her type proposing to her. So she is going to join another church where she may get some. So the pastor of that church where she's come to join, he doesn't know that the person who's come, he has a vision. It's not that your preaching is nice or that we are growing spiritually or anything. There is a reason behind. Oh. You see, that's why I'm encouraging you to be committed to God and committed to your church. Whether it's fair, whether this, that situation, whether the church is far, near, whether it's in the afternoon, evening, whether it's in the morning, whether it's out of campus, in campus, whether it's after school, before school, whatever, you are not moved by changing situations. So I now have a beloved, and you see, my beloved is very fussy. He wants to see me every Sunday. He wants to see me every Sunday. When you look at some of us, you would think we'd have neither wife nor children. Yeah. And that's how it's supposed to be. You would think that we don't have, but we have proper, real. Yeah. You say you are married, bring your married life and compare with mine. Bring after church, come with your notes. I also bring my notes and we see which of us is married. But the Paul said that the day comes when those who are married will be as though they are not married. We don't have to feel so much that you've given birth to one child. One child that you've brought forth into the world, hey, we'll never hear the end of it. Say, Bishop, you don't understand. You see, you don't understand. You see, combining this and combining the child. You know, this not a sport. You know, this first love jumping on around. You know, I used to do, but I can't. You used to, eh? You used to, you could. You could. And you see some people that when Elder Cadella is dancing in the front here, or Ernestina is singing, you find people looking, say, hey, you're giving fans. It's as though they've graduated beyond dancing. It is only because I don't know how to dance that I have not joined the dances. You are always graduating yourself out of things and telling yourself, my situation has changed, therefore I can't dance. My situation has changed, therefore I can't sing. My situation has changed, therefore I can't praise. My situation has changed, therefore I can't pray. My situation has changed, therefore I can't. Every changing situation, you also change. Are you a chameleon? Are you a chameleon? Are you a chameleon? I'm asking. That's why, you know, I sometimes when they're trying to put me on a party, the other day I saw they've listed men of God, said this man of God is NDC, this one is MVP, this one is MVP, like that, and they've given me a party. Then I wish that either NPP or NDC would be such a party that I could believe in. Like, I would take my stand clearly as the first pastor who's declared that I am NPP or I'm NDC openly. I would be very, you never have to speculate. I would state clearly, this is what I believe in. But unfortunately, when I look at the two of them, you understand? And I assess the impact that either of them have. It makes it difficult for me to join one's livid hatred for the other. Because I don't hate anybody. I don't hate NDC and I don't hate NPP. I don't hate them. Yeah. NDC government arrested my father. But I don't hate them. I don't hate them. I can tell you many good things about NDC, and I can tell you many good things about MPP also. If I could, I would say, you will see, I will never waver. I said, this is what I, but I will find myself finding it difficult to defend them. And I'll suddenly start having to tell lies, and I'll become just like how they have become when you see them on television, defending the indefensible. We all agree that when we go and 260 people are registered and 380 vote, it should be cancelled. Then suddenly, when it comes back and 380 have voted, you say that no, you cannot deny the right of the people to vote. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. So I wish I could join and be on one side or the other so that I'll be so clear. You never speculate. You never even have even 1 minute to be wondering that am I this or am I? Oh, I'll say me. This is, because there are pastors who have a stand. One time I was with a friend of mine, you know, a pastor, you know, who is an NDC, he supports NDC. And he was saying, I was asking him which way is he going to vote? And he was giving some scriptures about something. I said, brother, I told him, stop. Don't do that. Because I know that you are NDC. And I said, never apply that thing on me. I told him, John the Baptist said, what did you go out to see? A reed shaking with the wind that bends this way and bends this way. When the wind is blowing this way, you bend. When it's blowing this way, stand for what you believe in. And I know this is what you believe. From that time, he always said, oh, yeah, ask for me, I'm NDC. Everybody knows I'm NDC. I wish I could be like that. Because it's difficult for me. Not that I can't, but because I cannot defend them. I cannot defend these people. But what I believe in Jesus so much, you see, I'm defending, I'm preaching about the church. I say, the church, I can defend the church. This is what I believe in. So, I want to encourage you to lift your commitment from fair weather commitment, where you see you can get something. Do it even when you see you can't get anything. Look at me, I'm preaching to you. What can I get from you? What do you have? What do you have? I have to look after you. I have to look after you. We're all children. I'm happy because my aim is not to get something. I'm not saying, oh, you are selling cutting materials. You are selling cement. You are selling iron rod. You own this restaurant. You are the director of this. You are the Supreme Court judge. You are this. No. I don't know. There's no. Are you a Supreme Court judge? Are you a judge? You are nothing. Wow. Fair weather. Then situational. Ah, it's too long to work. I can't work again. So I'm doing law. Do you know that I'm doing law now? I'm in my second year. I'm in level 300. I'm in level 700. I'm in level 800. You may be 11,002. Your situation has changed. Wow. I'm teaching you something for life. Some of you, you'll marry, you'll see that your wife cannot be pregnant. The situation has changed. She may look rosy and beautiful. Wow. You may marry a brother. You may even sleep with him. And each time you sleep with him, everything seems normal. When you marry, you find out that there's not even one sperm inside what is coming out. There's not even one like this. What will you do? What will you do? Listen, I met a relative of mine. He was over 50 years old. He told me, look, I married my wife from Jamaica, wherever she was. We could not have a child. And he said, I have never been unfaithful to my wife. Ever. It's no matter the pressure that came up. He said, never. This is what I married. This is what I have. Doesn't he believe in God? He doesn't. You see, Christians who believe in God, we don't have such non-situational commitment. Pray that you don't marry a hawk. when they see that, wow, this is it. One time I was in the gynecology department. Our professor was telling us stories. He has so many stories. He said, one day, a lady came. They did so many tests. At the end, she came to him. She said, doctor, what is it? She said, is it me? It is him. And she said, yes, there's no azoospermia. Oh, okay, thank you. What is it? Exactly 1 year later, she came with her husband to say thank you to the doctor. So the doctor was telling us, said, this man, he doesn't have even one sperm. He did not know that the child that his wife has is not his child. So they came, so doctor has helped us and we have had a child. Yeah. Oh yeah. And I hear a large percentage of our parents are not our parents. What a shock. How many are rising into non-situational commitments? And the final type of commitment is marital commitment. Marital. And this is the commitment that is going to help to build the church. Amen. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Read it. It says, wherefore, my brethren, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Amen. Amen. That we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now notice, wherefore, my brethren, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that is Jesus Christ. You can be married to Christ. Now, when you say married, you see, today there's divorce. But in those days, when you say marry, it means forever. The only time you say goodbye is in death. Death is the goodbye. There is no goodbye other than death. How many want your marriage to be like that? Yeah. Now, I'm going to give you practice, good practice. Shall I give you some good practice? You practice marital commitment in spiritual things before marital commitment in real marriage comes up. Yes. You have to practice marital. You see, Jesus, Bible says, we are married to Christ. We are married to another. What does it mean? He says that we are permanently joined to him. Permanently. Now you see, in the church, you can be permanently joined to the church in a permanent way, which is a practice for marriage. Now, you are going to find many challenging situations in marriage, which is the reason why a lot of people are going to separate and a lot of people divorce. Because there will be testings and temptations and trials and siniazos in marriage. Now, if you have not developed this mind, which is the mind that you know that this person that I'm relating with, I'll relate with either I attend his funeral or he attends my funeral. This is the only way. Now, how many of you have that marital commitment in the church? You must decide, I am permanently committed to Christ. Nothing can change it. And then also to the church that I belong, which is the section of Christ. You see, the church is the section of Christ. Christ's body, he's the head, we are the body. So you are joined to the body, to whichever section you are joined to, is permanent. You join permanently. So you say, oh, whilst I'm a student, when I'm on campus, when I'm this, you have to have that permanent mind. That's the highest level of commitment. And that is the level of commitment which brings fruits. Come, my dear, Kadala. Are we going to have a baby? Go and sit down now. Go and sit down now. Without bringing a baby? Not bringing a baby. Come back. We are acting. Hold my hand. Let's work together. Will this bring a baby? No. No? But is it not good Christian togetherness? Go sit down now. We finished. Will it not bring a baby? Come back. Come. Give me a hug. Would you be pregnant? No. Oh, still, no baby. After all that we've done, no baby. No baby. Let's go to the back of the church together, quietly. Let's go to the back of the church together. Okay, let's come back now. Everybody can see us. Wow. Go sit down. Is she pregnant?
No.
Oh, are you pregnant? No baby. Still no baby. Why are we not bearing fruit? Why are we not bearing fruit? I'm asking you a question. If we are just friends, come, hold my arm. Hold my arm like this, you know, like we are really close and we are really walking together by the beach. Imagine the beach, okay? We are walking by the beach. Imagine the palm trees, coconut trees. Are you enjoying this time? All right. Are you pregnant?
No.
Oh! Oh! After all! Oh! Okay, let's dance together. Ready, go. Now, are you pregnant?
At all.
You see? None of these relationships brings fruit. If you want really to bear fruit in First Love Church, in Lighthouse Chapel, you have to have changed your form of relationship to a permanent, everlasting relationship. When you are permanent, then you can feel free. You see, when you are not permanent, you are always... When you see married people, you think they've lived together all their life, even just after 2 days of marriage. Where are those who are recently... Come. Clara and is it Billy? Emmanuel. Wow. Is that a ring I see on your finger? Ooh. You are married. Ooh. So what is it like? Is it true what I'm saying? Is it true?
Bishop, it's very true.
What is very true?
The fact that we seem to be like we have been together all our lives. When she does something, I know what it means.
So, give the mic to her. Are you freer?
I'm freer.
Freer.
More free than
free.
We love. It's free.
Really?
Very free.
You do wild things that you didn't used to do.
Wild things.
Wow. Can you imagine Clara doing wild things? Your imagination cannot get there, isn't it? So stop imagining. I cast out every imagination. So, Kadala, come. Based on your... Hold me close like this. Based on your... Hold him close also. Based on... my relationship with her. Do you think we can have a baby from the things you people have
done? Not at all.
Not at all! It's not enough?
At all. It's not enough.
It's not enough.
It's not enough at all.
Clara?
At all. It's not enough. Not even 1% enough.
Not even 1% enough? So what do we have to do to bear fruit? You see, to bear fruit,
To bear fruit in the church, you have to feel free, isn't it? You have to be sort of permanent in the church. And you have to grow wild in the church. I'm in everything. I'm in it for life. I'm all the way. I'm there permanent. You can't sack me. Hey. Emmanuel, are you surprised when you see Clara feeling free?
Very surprised. Because...
Because what?
She's usually a very controlled person.
Controlled, yeah. But she's lost control. She's lost control. You see, you must lose control if you are going to bear fruit. Tell somebody, you must lose control if you are going to bear fruit. You must feel free in the church. You must say, this is my church. I'm here forever. Whatever it is, that is where we are. And then you begin to see that you will start to bear fruit in a way that you have never, ever, ever gone through. All this casual handshake. Oh, Charlie, how? Yeah. Oh, man, give a hug. Oh, a dance together. Move it. All those things don't bring... You see, some of you just come, go. There's a certain deep, wild, losing control type of commitment. You see, marital commitment is not a small thing. Even when you are dead, there is a way you are committed to the dead person. I'm telling you. When Princess Diana died fornicating with her boyfriend in Paris, and the news got to Prince Charles, he knew that his wife was fornicating. He said, that's his wife. That's his wife over there. He took a private jet from England and crossed over to France and went to take the body of his dead, that dead woman. That is his wife. It's not a small thing to marry somebody. It's like a difficult to cut type of connection. It's very difficult. That's why sometimes when people's spouses die, they become a little abnormal. And sometimes they never even recover. Yeah. It's not a small thing. So when Paul said that we are married to another, we are married to Christ, we are married to his body. This is the Christ. I said, where is Christ? I can't find him. I'm going to America to find. He's here. This is the body of Christ. Yeah. It's not a small. We are supposed to lose ourselves to Christ. Lose control and just be wild. Be naked. We're supposed to be naked. Are you naked?
Yes, Bishop.
What? And what about her? Are you naked too?
Yes, Bishop.
Wow! Can't believe it! Worship leader. Hey! Wow. So, Cadella and I will have to become naked, isn't it? Yeah. You see, and maybe we are not prepared for that. You see, so we are not likely to have a child. Yeah. So we are not prepared for that. You see, and sometimes some of you are not prepared to be naked. You have all your secrets. Hey, may I cancel this church? When you go and say, who is it to preach just now? Who is it to preach just now? Hey. As for me, I don't want anybody to know my matter. Yes, I don't want anybody to know my matter because I tell you, look, there are films that are private. I don't want anybody to look into my films. I mean, asking me too many questions. These elders, they are very cheeky, you know. Ah, Mr. Private. Mr. Private Man. Miss Private. Miss Private. Miss Private. Mr. Private. But when it becomes a problem, when there's a real beast, when the thing has catapulted to another level, then you come. And then you see that it's difficult to solve it because you will not be open. Yeah. Listen. God wants to build his church. Every one of you is a rock and a block part of that church. But if we wake up in the morning, 75 of the blocks have gone somewhere. What are we going to do? They say, oh, we were situationally committed because it was not raining. But when it started raining, we decided to go elsewhere. We don't want to be in a building that always raining on it. Be committed. Be open to one another.
Some of you are in the church like secret agent. Nobody knows you. Hey. You are Mrs. Private. Mr. Privacy. Privacy International. Why don't you form a company, Privacy International? Wow. Do you want to bear fruit? Do you want to join this building project? Are you excited about this wonderful building project? Are you glad that God wants to bless you and use you? Look, for me, I will always advertise. You can build a club, you can build a party, you can build judiciary, you can build legislature, you can build executive, you can build soccer team, but I will say build a church. Jesus said, I will. So Jesus will call me tonight. He'll call me tonight because I'm building his church. He'll call me again tonight. He'll call me again in the morning. He may send somebody to help me tomorrow. He may send me some money. Because I'm in his project, he may protect me. Something bad, he'll protect me. Because I'm building his church. Wow. I'm not building my career, I'm building his church. I'm building you. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. And I'm not here. I'm here because I love God and I love what he is doing. Yeah. And I want you to also now choose to love God. When you love him, he will love you. When you love what he loves, he will love you. When your heart is touched with what touches heart, God's heart, he will love you. He will bless you. I know it by experience also, from the word, but I know it by experience. God will keep you. You will not sweat to marry. You can write it down. It will happen naturally. Yeah, you will not sweat. When you are building the church, where do you think I got my wife? I was building the church. I was following up. And I got one of the sweet ladies that I was following up. Wow. I was leading prayer meetings and I could see all of them. Yeah. A lot of people also wanted to marry me. But I chose one. And I used certain keys. May God anoint you to build his church. May you never be poor. May you never lack. May you never suffer want in your life because you have decided to build the church. May you always be part of building the church of God. May God help you and lift you up and strengthen you as you build his church with marital commitment in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, close your eyes for a moment. Close your eyes for a moment. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, I don't know, maybe somebody invited you to church this morning, this afternoon, and you want to say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus today. Maybe you are not born again. Or maybe this is the first time you've come. But deep down in your heart, you know that you are far, far from God. Maybe you want to say, Lord, I want to be part of the church. I want to really serve God. This is an opportunity. Pastor, help me. I'm on campus. I want to serve God. I want to live for God. I want to live for Jesus Christ. Maybe you have been wishy-washy, up today, down tomorrow, up here, down, up, down. But today, God is calling you and he's saying, today, give your life to me, serve me. This is your chance. This is your chance for a better life. If you are here today, you want to receive Jesus as your Savior. You want me to pray with you. You want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God, to Jesus today. If you are here like that, wherever you are standing, lift up. Just your hand, just only your right hand up high, and I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. Just your right hand. Stay where you are, but just keep your hand up high, right hand. Pastor, pray with me. I want God. I want Jesus. I want Jesus to change my life. And I want to be part of the church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and you are part of that church today. If you want Jesus to wash away your sins, I need to see just your right hand up high in the air like that. God bless you. God bless you. I see so many hands. this afternoon. If you have lifted your hand, I want you to do one more thing. Come from where you are standing. Come to me in the front here. Just come. Come to me here. Come from where you are to the front. Come to me in the front here. And I'm going to pray with you. Just come. Come and stand here. I'm going to pray with you. Stand right here. Stand right here. You lifted your hands. You lifted your hand. I want Jesus. I want my life to be changed today. Come. Let me pray with you. God bless you. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Come to God. Come to God. God bless you. Please come this way. Come this way. Come this way. Just the keyboard, please. Every head bow, please. Every eye closed. I'm going to give you one more chance. There is somebody here. You know your hand should be up. Or maybe you lifted your hand, you put it down. And you know in your heart, you should be here. Because today, God is stretching out his hand to you and calling you personally. And he's saying, come, my servant. I've called you. I want you to serve me. Come now. If you are here, lift your hand quickly and come. I'm giving you 1 minute to be up here. 1 minute. Come now. This is your chance. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God. Come now. You have just 1 minute. One last minute. This is your last minute. Don't say you didn't hear it. Don't say you didn't know. Don't say nobody told you. Don't say you were not there. You are here. You are listening. You are hearing. You are hearing. You are hearing. For your word today. There's a lady. Somebody listen. If it is you, I'm talking about your life, your soul. Don't think about any boy. Don't think about any girl. Don't think about anybody. Think about your soul. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? His soul. What will it be useful to you for? What is going to happen? I'm giving you the last chance. You need to be here. You come now. It's a lady, it's a man. I don't know who you are. Come now, please. Before it's too late. God is calling you. Come quickly. 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 Where are you? Come, let me pray with you. We are closing. The doors are closing. The sun is setting. Sun is setting. Doors are closing. Come to God. Come to God before it's too late. 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 Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
And Lord, to thee my blessed Savior, I surrender.
All right. Close your eyes. Lift your hands. Everybody close your eyes. Everybody lift your hands. Everyone, please. Everyone. Say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Today, I open my heart. I give my life, my soul, my heart to God. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Please have mercy on me. From today, I give my life to you. Say, I give my life to Jesus. Please forgive me, Lord. Please forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for my wicked ways. Today, I open my heart. Please wash away my sins. Please cleanse me from evil. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Please wash away my sins. Please wash away my sins today with the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer today. From today,
from today, I will follow Jesus. I will serve Jesus. I will obey Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Please write my name. Jesus. Please write my name. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for saving me, for dying on a cross to save my soul. I believe in you. Say, I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.